Earth Day is Saturday, and this year, those marking the day will be asked to get on their feet. Around the country and in several places in Hawaii, scientists and advocates for the value of empirical data will march for science. By their own admission, scientists are often not the first to come out of their labs and offices to protest, but now many believe science and consequently scientists are under threat from an administration and a part of society which regard them as suspect. That would include marine biology professor Mark Hixon. He's back in our studio today. Hello there.
Hi, Bethann. Great to be here.
When we talked earlier this year, just before the inauguration, you were really making the case that, scientists are feeling a change of policy in ways that they had never felt before, and that their sensitivity was extremely high and keen. What's happened in these ensuing months?
Well, the fear shortly after the election was based on comments made by then-president-elect that science was not clear in his mind at all, making statements that range from sort of ludicrously comical to absolutely horrifying. And we've seen since the election and since the inauguration that there are appointments being made and statements being made that are bearing out our worst fears.
Specifically what? That you really feel is making the case worse for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you have the director of the EPA, the administrator of the EPA, saying that carbon dioxide does not cause climate disruption, when great programs that benefit Hawaii and other states, such as Sea Grant, are on the chopping block. Examples like that are cause for concern for all citizens, not just scientists.
And what about you in your specialty, corals? I mean, we've heard some remarks about what is and isn't causing coral bleaching.
It's just unbelievable. You know, Breitbart News, which was Steve Bannon's baby for a long time, has just come out and said that coral bleaching is a hoax. This is at a time when we're rapidly losing the Great Barrier Reef to severe coral bleaching. The last 2 years, Hawaii has seen unprecedented bleaching, and scientists worldwide are just appalled, as should all citizens be.
Now, in the climate that you've just described, how are you networking maybe differently with scientists throughout the country and even beyond internationally?
Well, internationally, I was concerned about how my colleagues would be reacting to all this, and they've been just hyper sympathetic. And what has happened is recent political actions have resulted in the broader scientific community coming together. I've been working with colleagues I probably never would have met on the March for Science. And our intention is for the march to be just the beginning of an organized movement involving all citizens to ensure that politics and policy are based on the best available evidence.
You're talking about a movement that is directed by scientists, which is a very different position than we've seen scientists take in past.
Absolutely. Scientists have long sort of kept to themselves and done their science, tend to be that type of personality. But now we're seeing that we can't hide behind the ivory tower or just do our own thing and publish scientific papers. Scientists must be engaged with society to ensure that all the benefits of science come to society.
Scientists in the past have told us, said so on this program, that they've been reticent to do that because they've been afraid of losing their funding or of having something happen to their reputation. Is that still the case, or are scientists now, from what you're saying, it seems they're beyond that?
I believe the scientific community is now seeing that what we've done in the past didn't work. And everything from bringing science to society in new ways, creative ways, and involve the arts, to just standing up and say, no, this is not right, is essential at this point. Things are going south fast.
There are some scientists who have also said, though, you know, there's disagreement with scientists and there's this infighting of whose science is better than someone else's science. Are you finding that happening as you're talking to your fellows outside of the U.S. or even within it?
Well, science has always been contentious. These notions that one reads in the conspiracy blogs that scientists are in some vast conspiracy to control the world or do whatever, it's just nonsense. Scientists are constantly questioning each other and skeptical of each other's work. At the same time, there's respect there. So I believe what's happening now is scientists from different disciplines are starting to talk more rather than just particular groups of scientists, say just the coral scientists, for example, and seeing that the broad community of science is under attack and must pull together to refute these onslaughts.
So how has that been evidenced in your experience? What type of scientists are you talking to who you'd never really have had cause to talk to before?
Well, just in organizing this march at the national and now international level, I'm talking to people I normally wouldn't because they're far outside my scope of marine biology. And it's really wonderful and refreshing. You know, scientists tend to get channeled in their own specialized stovepipes, and now we're starting to reach out and hold hands, if you will, to broaden the importance of science and ensure that all citizens are aware of that importance, to back up each other.
Do you find that the next step is going to be moving through the academic community at large in a very different way than perhaps it has more singularly in past?
That's the hope. There's certainly, I know, here in Hawaii, a momentum that Saturday's march is not the end but the beginning. So we will be continuing to network and continuing to build on what we've produced so far.
You've made the point in past conversations, and you did again this one, that Hawaii has a lot to lose in this, perhaps in a way very, very different from other places without trying to make us in some way superior to other places, but just based on our geography and certainly tourism and those of us who live and work here and choose to be here. How much of that do you think is more under threat now than what it was before? You mentioned the Sea Grant going on the block.
Absolutely,
the
Sea Grant. But if one thinks about Hawaii and how precarious things are here living on an island, Hawaii has much to lose from climate disruption, a huge amount. Our coral reefs, which provide fisheries for us, produce the sand for our beaches, natural breakwaters, just that alone is important.
But I mean more the change in policy toward that, because we've talked at length about what is at stake for Hawaii, but now with changes in policy, and I asked this of Jeff McAleena earlier, are we really at a crucible?
Well, it's going to depend upon how the policy at the highest level filters down. If it filters down to we have a hardcore person who buys into what's going on in the White House here in Hawaii, it's going to cause major problems. Otherwise, hopefully there'll be resistance at the local level and we can maintain ourselves in the face of this adversity.
We'll see how things shake out on Saturday. Thank you so much for coming and good to talk to you again.
Thanks so much.
Mark Hickson is the Sydney and Erica Shao Endowed Professor of Marine Biology at the University of Hawaii at Manoa. His expertise is in coral reefs. And he says he's personally witnessed the degradation and death from ocean warming in locations around the world. He chaired the Federal Science Advisory Committees for both the Clinton and Bush administrations. And if you want more about this Saturday's March for Science, check out our Facebook page, The Conversation-Hawaii Public Radio.